Cogdrow Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm going to read the closing verse of the sermon the Lord preached that led to the scribes and the Pharisees saying, "We're not going to listen to this man anymore. We're going to put him out of business." This sermon that the Lord preached more than anything else, well, his whole life, but this sermon was the end that led to his crucifixion. And I just want to read the last verse of this sermon. He says in verse 33 to the people he was preaching to, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" Harsh words from him who's too wise to err and too kind to be cruel. "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" Now, when is the last time you heard a preacher speak like that? You may have heard one speak that way in a rage, but this is he who is holy, he who is without sin, he who is not given to emotional displays of rage. He says, "How can you escape the damnation of hell?" Now, I've entitled this message, "False Religion and True Religion." It's found in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and he gives 10 marks of false religion. And the opposite of those 10 marks, we have the mark of true religion. There is such a thing as false, and there is such a thing as true. Now, the Lord says, first of all, with regard to these Pharisees, verse 2, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say, and they do not." Now here is the first mark of false religion. They say. They're quick to tell you what you need to do. They say, and they do not. They tell you to keep the law, but they don't keep the law. They tell you to repent. They don't repent. They tell you to believe, and they do not believe. False religion is grounded in this. They're quick to tell you what to do, but they do not. Now here is the second mark. He says in verse 4, "They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, rules and regulations, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works," notice that word all their works, "they do for to be seen of men." In Matthew chapter 6, when the Lord was giving what the believer is called upon to do, and he talks about works of charity, giving of alms, works of devotion, prayer, works of self-denial, and that is seen in fasting. He talks about these works. He says, all their works they do to be seen of men, to be recognized by men. And this is what false religion is all about. They do what they do, not for the glory of God, but to be seen, to be recognized of men. Now look in verse 8. It says, or verse 7-6, it says, they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats and synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. They love titles. They love recognition. They like to be called Dr. So-and-so and the Right Reverend So-and-so and Pastor So-and-so and the Right Most Holy Reverend So-and-so. They love titles. They love recognition that sets them apart from other men. This is a mark of false religion. They love hierarchies. Now, look what the Lord says about these people in verse 13. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Now, here is what the false religionist is guilty of, shutting up the kingdom of heaven by preaching a false message. He says, you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. You see, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven apart from the truth of the gospel. And they shut men out by bringing a false message. They're not saved, nor are their hearers. And then he says in verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you devour widows' houses. And for a pretense, for show, make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Now, this is a mark abusing people for personal gain. You take the average TV preacher. Who does he prey on? Widows. Who supports him? Widows. And he tries to impress them with his long flowery prayers, and the Lord said they'll receive the greater damnation for that. You see, the truth is not about abusing people and seeking to take from them. It's seeking to love them and give them the truth. And then the Lord says in verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass land and sea to make one proselyte, one convert, and when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. What's the main emphasis of religion? Growth. Numbers. Proselytizing. You see, if I can get converts, I can feel better about myself. I can say, look how God's using me. I must be doing something right. It's not from preaching the gospel. It's a self-glorying thing, and this thing of proselytizing. You proselytize. You try to gain converts. And all you do is make them twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Then he says in verse 17 or 16, woe unto you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it's nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple is a debtor. Now here's what they were saying. They were saying the temple is, if you make a promise or a vow according to the temple, it's non-binding. But if you make a promise of the gold that you put in the temple, that makes it binding. Now look what he says about this. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And then he says in verse 19, you fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Now here's the point. They were taking the temple and the altar, and they were saying, if you swear by them, it's non-binding. You don't have to keep your promise. But if you swear by the gold that's in the temple or the gift that you placed upon the altar, then it's binding. Now what these fellows were doing was inverting sanctification. They were saying it's your works, it's your gifts that makes the altar effectual and the temple effectual. They were saying man's works and not the person and work of Christ is what causes salvation to be. He said you've inverted sanctification. And then he says in verse 23 of this same chapter, he says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not let the other done, you blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. False religion majors on things of no consequence. And they leave out what really matters. And the Lord gives us these three things that are the weightier matters of the law: judgment, mercy, and faith. Judgment. Salvation according to the justice and judgment of God. Christ was judged on Calvary's tree. The sins of those He represented were put away, and the very righteousness of God demands their salvation. Judgment. Mercy can't come at the expense of judgment. Judgment must first come. He's a just God and a Savior. And then salvation by the mercy, the free mercy of God. And faith, believing that message. He says, you've left that out. You've majored on minors and you minored on majors. And then He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup, but within you're full of extortion and excess. And He says another few things in the next couple of verses about that. But here's the point. False religion majors on what you look like on the outside and does nothing about what is on the inside, what God does in a man. Just get the outside cleaned up, look good, appear righteous to men, and you're in good shape. And they pass over what God must do on the inside. He said, you appear righteous to men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. He says in verse 29, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets. You garnish the sepulchres of the righteous and say, if we'd been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Now, false religion brags on dead preachers. We wouldn't have killed the prophets, but they have no identification with those who are living, preaching the gospel. And that's when the Lord said, ye serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? What stern words. Now, you can take those 10 marks and turn them around, and you have true religion. That which is inspired by God. That which is true. And the first thing is they say and they do. I do not call upon men to do something I do not do myself. When I say believe the gospel, I'm telling you to believe the gospel that I believe. When I say repent, I'm telling you to do what I have done. I've repented and taken sides with God against myself and looked to Christ only. Now, true religion is not occupied with telling others what to do. They tell you what to do, but they don't do it. But true religion is occupied with self. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Like I said, false religion is always worried about telling what other people what to do. But in the truth, true religion, it's personal. What must I do to be saved? And true religion is concerned with what God sees, not what men see. He said, all their works they do to be seen of men. Now, I would not be being honest if I said, I don't care what men think about me. I want men to think of me as someone who actually fears God, someone who's a true servant of Christ, someone who's real and not hypocritical. I care what people think about me, but when it comes right down to it, if you think well of me and God doesn't, it's not going to do me any good at all. And if God thinks well of me through the gospel and everybody else hates me, that's fine. We're more concerned about what God sees than what men see. And when I preach the gospel, I want Him to be pleased with what I'm saying. Now, I'll be happy if you're pleased, but the one I'm concerned about pleasing is Him, not you. In the truth, you're more concerned about what God sees than what men see. And you know, we read in that passage of them loving to be called rabbi and master and recognized in the marketplace and taking the chief places and so on. False religion loves titles and recognition. True religion hates it. Somebody that believes the gospel does not want to be exalted above his brethren. All ye are brethren. And we hate this thing, this false thing of clergy, laity, titles, and so on. Don't want to have anything to do with it. It's not real. True religion has the message that opens the kingdom of heaven. He said, you shut out men of the kingdom of heaven. The gospel opens the kingdom of heaven. Now please listen to this real carefully. In John chapter 14, verse 6, the Lord said, I am the way. He is the way into the kingdom of heaven. I am the truth. He is the truth of how one enters the kingdom of heaven. I am the life. It's only those who have His life that enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that is the truth of how one enters the kingdom of heaven. Christ alone. It's my life, my perfect obedience that is given to every believer that brings them into the kingdom of heaven. It's my life being put to death, my death as the sin payment of everybody who enters the kingdom of heaven. It's my life raised from the dead, meaning God accepted what I did and everybody I did it for, and they're all justified by what I did. My life is the way of entering the kingdom of heaven. It is my life at the right hand of the Father, interceding for all those people that I died for, is the way they're preserved. You see, the gospel has the way opened into the kingdom of heaven. Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And in the kingdom of heaven, in true religion, there's not a devouring of widows' houses. It's not a religion about personal gain. It's not a religion about me getting what is yours. It's not a religion where there's the pretense, the act of prayer to impress people. No, in the gospel, we really love people. We really do. We love the brethren, we love everybody who loves Christ, and we love everybody in the sense we want everybody to believe and be saved. It's not just trying to take people and proselytize and so on. That's the next point. In true religion, there's not proselytizing. Now, I'm preaching the gospel, and I'm praying that God will be pleased to save people through it. I really want that. But Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, not to get results, not to proselytize, but to preach the gospel. You see, I know I can't save anybody. It's up to God to save you. I can't save you. Somebody says, I won that person to Christ. No, you didn't. If somebody saved, God saved them. You didn't save them. You might have been an instrument in telling them the truth, but this salvation's of the Lord. And this whole idea, I've won so many souls to Christ, that's utterly offensive. This whole thing of proselytizing, trying to look how God's using me, that's not in the kingdom of God. In true religion, we preach the gospel and leave men alone and trust God to take care of the results. And in true religion, you don't have this thing of inverting sanctification. Now, I've already touched on what false religion does. It says the gift on the altar is greater than the altar. It's the gift on the altar that makes what the altar work. And that's really the message of the false gospel. It's not Christ's death that saves you. It's what you do with Christ's death that saves you. I mean, He can die for you and you wind up in hell anyway if you don't make your works make what He did work for you. That's an inverting of sanctification. It's not the gift that sanctifies the altar. It's the altar. It's the person and work of Christ that sanctifies the gift. And in true religion, you don't have this thing of omitting the weightier matters of the law. You major on the majors. Now these fellows were talking about tithing. Preachers love to talk about tithing. They try to lay guilt on people to try to get them to give. And they love to talk about tithing. Now tithing was in the Old Testament. Tithing is not taught in the New Testament. Now that's just so. You're to give as God has prospered you. You're to give willingly. But as far as this 10% tax, No, but these fellows, they were quick to pay tithes of everything, but they left out the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Now listen to me. This is the message of the gospel. Judgment took place on the cross. Now, the carrying out of the sentence on Judgment Day has not yet taken place, but I was justified by what Christ did. Judgment was taken care of. My sin was put away. I was given perfect righteousness, and the holy law of God counts me as just. And what comes out of that? Mercy. Salvation by the mercy of God. Now, the only way you can receive mercy is if you don't have anything to recommend you to God. Your only hope is Him having mercy on you. You know that if He gives you what you deserve, you'll be sent to hell. But thank God for the mercy of God, because judgment has been accomplished. God now shows mercy freely for Christ's sake. Thank God for the mercy of God. And the third thing He mentions is faith. Faith believes that. Faith relies on judgment. The judgment that God accomplished on Calvary's tree. Faith relies on the mercy of God. Faith believes the gospel. Now He says, these ought you to have done and not left the other undone. And then in verse 25, He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup, but within you're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter. The outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you're like whited sepulchres. You're like graves, which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but within you're full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now let me be as plain as I can. Your inside and my inside, what God sees is bad, and it cannot be changed or improved. Genesis chapter 6, 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, if you tell me, here's what you need to do. You need to change the inside. You need to start thinking good thoughts. You need to quit having sinful desires and sinful passions, and you need to straighten up on the inside. You need to change on the inside. You know what you've done for me? You've given me no hope. I can't change my heart. There are, quote, ministries called changed lives, and they talk about the evidence of God's work is this change on the inside. Now listen to me. I don't need a changed heart. My heart's no good. I hear preachers say, give Jesus your heart. What would He want with that thing? What would He want with it? It's evil. You're going to give Him that? You think He's going to accept that? I've heard preachers say, won't you invite Jesus into your heart? Where's that in the Bible? You don't invite Jesus. He'll come and knock down your heart and give you a new heart. But as far as inviting Him into the heart, that's not scriptural. Here's what I need. I need a new heart that only God can give. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. God said in Ezekiel 36, a new heart also will I give you. Now what this is talking about is the new birth. When He gives you a new heart, this is that pure heart that the Lord speaks of when He says, blessed are the pure in heart. I need a new heart, a heart that loves God, a heart that can see sin, a heart that believes the gospel. I need a new heart. And this is what the gospel is concerned with, not an outward morality. You can look good on the outside and be full of dead men's bones. I don't need a cleaned up outside. I need a new heart. And the only one who can give me that is God. False religion is concerned with what men see, how it appears to men, how righteous it looks on the outside. The true gospel is concerned with the inside, that new heart that God gives in the new birth. And then we read in verse 29, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would have not been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Now, they are the ones who bragged on the prophets. We wouldn't have killed them the way our fathers did. And the Lord says, you admit that you're the children of them that killed the prophets. You brag on preachers that are dead. You know, I hear people doing that today. They brag on Charles Spurgeon or John Calvin or Martin Luther, but they wouldn't have identified with them when they lived. And they do not identify with the gospel today. Now, what does the Lord say to them? He says, you serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And the fact of the matter is, you won't if you are in false religion. But if you are in true religion, the religion that comes from God, what James called pure religion and undefiled before the Father. If you're in that, let me give you the opposite of what the Lord said to the scribes and Pharisees. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give unto us all things? Now, there's no way that a man or woman in false religion can be delivered from the judgment, the damnation of hell. But there's no way someone in true religion can be anything but saved, because God gave his son and paid for their sins. And since all their sins are paid for, since they have a perfect righteousness before God, what could possibly prevent God from freely giving them all things? Now, which religion am I in? Which religion are you in? The false? Many are on that road. Many have entered this wide gate and the broad way that leads to destruction? Or are you in the true that looks to Christ alone? May the Lord give me and you both grace to be in the way of the true. Now, we'd like to invite you to services at Todd's Road Grace Church. Our services begin at 10:30 this morning, 6 this evening, and 7 on Wednesday evenings. And we'd love to have you come out and hear the gospel. This is Todd Neibert, praying that God will be pleased in his mercy to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send a request to todd.neibert@gmail.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.